Welcome, welcome, everybody. Can you see me and hear me? Hi, great. Welcome to Happy Hour. Nice to see you. Hi, Neil. Hang on just a second here. I'm putting us on gallery view so I can see everybody. So, a warm welcome from wherever you're zooming in from. You're welcome while we're waiting for people to join, just to say hi in the chat or pop off of mute for a minute and say hello. Oops, I just turned your chat off. Sorry. Hi, Kim. How's everybody doing tonight? I see nods. I see smiles. I see pictures. Hi, is it Lita or Lida? So welcome. Where are people coming in from? If you want to, you can just put in the chat wherever you're in from. Northern Alaska, fantastic. Welcome, Jennifer. New York City, Philadelphia, Philly, Tofino, BC, Dallas, Texas, Boston, raining in Boston, San Rafael, California, San Diego, Marin, New York. Wonderful. Welcome, everybody. And I'm here in Redwood City, also known as Ramaytush Ohlone Land, the land that the Ramaytush Ohlone people looked after for a long time. And I'm delighted to see all of you. So we'll just give 1 or 2 more minutes for people to pop in. And meanwhile, just know wherever you're from, whatever state of mind you're in, whatever your social location is, however you identify, you are very warmly welcome here. This is a friendly Sangha and happy to have you. Great. So I'm going to go ahead and start. Tonight's reflection, I want to offer a sutta story and a song. And before I do that, I'm going to situate the sutta story in some historical context. And that is that in ancient India, and before the time of the Buddha even, there was this really vibrant, multi-religious, multicultural, multi-spiritual scene happening, this kind of cultural soup brewing with all of these different spiritual and religious practices and all these different ways of understanding our relationship to the sacred and our relationship to reality. And the best that scholars can figure out, and they don't know for sure exactly when they emerged, the qualities that we call now the Brahmaviharas or the immeasurables emerged before the Buddha, so before Buddhism and also before Hinduism. But they were these aspirational qualities, right? And they existed. They were just kind of part of the cultural soup that the Buddha grew up in. So the immeasurables, loving kindness, compassion, altruistic or empathetic joy, and equanimity, were present. And the Buddha's creative contribution wasn't to invent these. They're human capacities, of course, right? We all have the possibility for them. What he did instead was he developed practices, practices that allow people to develop and further cultivate these beautiful qualities. So with that in mind, here's the story. This comes from the Pardon the mic there, the Tevaja Sutta. So thus have I heard, as the sutta starts, or in modern parlance, once upon a time, there were these two young Brahmin students, Brahminical students. They're probably of early college age, and they happened to be in the same general area as the Buddha and his followers at the time. There was this large gathering of Brahmins and this large gathering of the Buddha and his followers, and they were just kind of in the same park or in the same region. And these two Brahmin students were walking along, doing what college students have been doing for millennia, which is having a debate, a philosophical debate. What is the best Brahmin's path to reach union with the sacred, to reach union with Brahma, their God? And they're going back and forth and back and forth, and neither one is convincing the other. So they decide to do something a little provocative. They're going to go to this, hey, we've heard about this teacher. He's not in our tradition, but let's go ask him what he thinks. And so they go to the Buddha to settle this philosophical argument. And the Buddha uses questions, uses the Socratic method, to teach them the folly of blind faith and blind ritual in reaching that which is most sacred. Instead, he teaches them a path of practice, starting with the crucial intention of non-harming, with restraint, mindfulness, meditation, and above all, cultivation of loving kindness and the other immeasurables. In essence, the Buddha taught that cultivating qualities associated with their highest good would bring these practitioners closer to union with that which they valued the most, Brahma. In other words, he taught that the means echo the ends, and that while intention is important, practice is paramount. So, like the Buddha, Buddhist traditions, including ours, draw on our culture and our practices to contribute creativity and skillful means to the practice of loving kindness and the other immeasurables. And I'm going to draw on a different skillful means that has evolved in modernist Buddhist tradition, which is song. On a recent retreat, I was reminded of this song. Tuere Salah sang this, but it's a song I first learned from this wonderful Dharma teacher, Heather Martin, some years ago. And I'm going to attempt to sing it. And you muted are invited to either listen or to sing along. But the invitation, whether you're just listening or singing along, is to really feel into the words and let them be your intention to the extent that that feels natural for you, okay? So, here we go. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. So now you can sing along. It's very simple. And then the second verse is you, and the third verse is we. So I'm singing it slowly so that we can feel into the meaning of these words. May I be with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be happy. So thank you for listening or singing along. And the invitation is now for us to transition into the meditation and just settle into your body and feel into what the energy of that singing was like for you. You can let the energy settle, or you can let it energize your practice. There's no right or wrong way to relate to it. But to come inside, come to this moment, and start to notice sensations in your body, feelings in the heart center, and any reverberations that the story or the singing had in your heart and mind. Like the Buddha taught at the beginning of the path of practice, setting an intention for this meditation, an intention of non-harming, an attitude of kindness towards experience in your heart and mind. Whatever arises. Bringing the mind, the heart, and the body together. And attuning to your attention. Allowing whatever is just to be there. And settling. Settling on the body, on the breath, or whatever anchor works for you to anchor you to this moment. Feeling into the in-breath, all the sensations. Releasing on the out-breath. Allowing the attention to fill the body. Perhaps like water fills a sponge. Feeling the weight of the body supported. On the seat or cushion, floor. Feeling the breath moving through the body wherever it's easeful, natural, stop this. If you find the mind wanders, seeing how kindly, gently, it's possible to bring the attention back to this moment. Can it be easier, lighter, as light as a butterfly wing on air? Tuning into the sensations of breathing and body. All the details of these sensations, especially the sensations in the feet, hands, and the breath as it moves through. Warming the chest, the heart center. Gently rocking the belly, expanding and falling. The tip of the nose, cool and warm. taking a moment to notice, perhaps, the quality of mindful attention itself, the attitude towards experience in this moment. Allowing the attitude to be what it is, and to invite a sense of kindness, benevolence towards whatever is arising in experience. And now bringing into the field of attention, if it feels right, a being, any being who brings a sense of ease or a smile to your heart, perhaps an inspirational or sacred figure, or a child, a lovable animal or a pet. Noticing the feeling in the heart center, your body, your mind. So you bring them to mind. If no being comes to mind, it's fine to bask in the sense of presence, perhaps kind presence. And offering a sense of well-wishing. Well-wishing towards this presence, being or otherwise. Perhaps internally using a phrase from the song, or just a word or two of wishing well. Such as, be happy. Be safe. Be peaceful. Be at ease. Any words you choose, even silent intention, it's all good. The important thing is to feel into the intention of kindness, of wishing well. Perhaps imagining a reciprocal response in some way from this being, this present. Offering, receiving, and feeling into what it feels like to offer or receive these wishes of kindness. Repeating or focusing by using the phrase or words or just a heightened sense of intention. And now staying attuned to the presence you've called to mind. And if it feels natural, easeful, also bringing in a neutral being, a being you know well enough to recognize, but have no real opinions about. Allowing them to join this other one as a recipient of your good wishes. Be happy. Safe. Peaceful. At ease. Whatever form your wishes want to take in this moment. refreshing every now and then, the intention, the wishes, by tuning into the body, the heart, and the intention, the impulse itself of kindness, well-being, well-wishing. And now, allowing another being to join this field of intentions of loving kindness and well-wishing, expanding the practice to include the being in your seat, in your body. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well, peaceful, at ease, happy. Now opening the heart as wide as it wants to go to allow all beings or all beings that arise within the field of attention and intention of loving kindness to be met with well wishes. Non-harming. Without measuring or requiring, allowing the intentions to spread out from this heart as close or as far as they want to go. And then letting go now of any of the objects of the attention. Allowing the mind and heart to be with or to bask in whatever is arising in this moment, whatever's flowing through. Noticing the sensations, the body, especially in the center of your chest. Noticing any emotions. And silently within, dedicating this meditation to whatever the highest good or most sacred is for you. In the classic Buddhist sense, dedicating it to all beings, medium, short, or small, itty bitty, large, ginormous, all walking, running, swimming, or swishing beings, all hopping, galumphing, soaring, or flying beings, all breathing, snorting, snorting, singing, sighing, howling, laughing beings. May all beings everywhere know ease and peace. Thank you for your practice, everyone. So before I open it up to responses, I'd like to invite you to reflect for a moment on any glimpses, senses, even instants of well-being, kindness, any moments of nourishment during this meditation. Really reflect on and savor those. And one way of helping to set those in memory is to link them to something in present moment experience. So I'm going to offer the song again, just one round of the different verses. You're welcome to sing along or to hum it. Hum along. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be happy. So perhaps humming the tune if you're a musical type and that works for you or not. And as we transition, I'd like to invite anyone who wants to just, if it feels natural, share a word or two about how it was for you or any questions, comments you have about the meditation or the reflection. You can do it in the chat or in just unmute yourself and say something if you like. Peaceful, warm and lovely. Good song. Thank you. Beautiful. Gratitude. I had that beautiful song in my mind. Thank you. And thanks to Eric. Anyone who needs to leave can, but I encourage you to stay if you can. Eric mentions that this sounds like a lullaby. I actually use it as a lullaby to soothe the inner parts that aren't feeling so peaceful sometimes. Susan writes, some of my rough edges rubbed off. Beautiful. So those of you who are regulars here at Happy Hour know what's coming next. For some people, it's their favorite part, which is the invitation to go into breakout rooms and to be with each other for a little while. And I know many of you drop off and you don't want to do it, and that's okay, but just the encouragement that it's actually a really great thing. So I am going to create three. So they'll be a bit larger, just to take about 5 minutes and share what was useful or what you want to remember about that meditation. Okay? All right. I'll see you back here in five. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. So, any comments, questions, reports, complaints, either about your experience in the meditation or some wisdom that you heard or anything. Just, you can unmute yourself and just talk.
I found it nurturing.
Wonderful. Nurturing. Which part? The conversation?
The whole gestalt. The singing at the beginning. I thought you're more brave than I. I thought it was very nurturing, and then your voice leading us. It was just like I was saying in the group yesterday, it was so tense around work and other things, like a cat on a hot tin roof, I suppose. And today it was different. And I thought, how can I be in the same planet? And then I came tonight to this, and I felt, oh my goodness, I felt nurtured. So.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it. Any other responses? Jesse, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to express my appreciation for the chanting. It's been an important part of my own practice. I feel it's seldom taught. My experience is it's seldom taught compared to meditation, but it's been very powerful. And you've brought it here a couple times, and I really appreciate it both of those times. I've done the chant for universal well-being, or the one that I think that's the one that you did. And then there's another one called the suffusion of the divine abidings. And I usually do the chant for loving kindness for the 3 minutes before this meditation. So it's been really powerful. And that song that you brought in today, I hadn't heard it for over a year. And it was like an old friend. I was like, oh, I know this one. That's so great. So yeah, it's just really powerful teachings and a really great resource that's held me through some challenging times in my own practice. So thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah, chanting is not taught very commonly in this lineage. It's really uncommon, but Kamala Masters, Heather Martin, and several other teachers, including Tuareg Salah and myself, really find it helpful. And something that Kamala said really resonated for me, which is the music or the chanting, it sticks in the mind more than just words do. Mm-hmm. So I'll find myself breaking out into song, like in the car or in the shower, or just have the words and the music running through the mind. And that's all lovely, but it's especially nice when you consider what else can be running through the mind instead. Mm-hmm. So it can be a really powerful support, and I'm glad you find it nurturing. Any other thoughts? Yes, please. First Susan and then Diana.
I was going to say, I recommend the Metta Sutta. I memorize that and sing it all day long, and it keeps me out of my head somewhat. Yes. I also shared with my group that I was one that wrote the rough edges part, and I've been in a really gnarly headspace for a little bit, and my protective committee in my head doesn't want to let in good stuff. And I was just, it was such a miracle, and thank you that I was able to let in, and I needed that a lot. So thank you. Thank you all.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. We've all got, Pamela Weiss calls it the itty bitty shitty committee inside. I think she got that from Grace Shorenson. But each of us came installed with one, right? And I'm so glad that something tonight kind of pierced that and let in something else. Diana, please.
It's more just a point of information. I can learn this song because it's recorded, so I can memorize it that way. I'm going to. and it really just stayed with me. But what's the source of this set of this group of phrases? Is this an early sutta? Is this?
So I, by the way, I put the song lyrics in the chat for anyone who hasn't noticed. Though, of course, this is recorded and it's easier to do that. So this is, I would say it's more of an interpretive translation of the Metta Sutta. And if you Google it, you'll see it. It's very popular. It's come up a lot. Heather Martin is the one who taught this song to me and about 90 other people on a 2-month retreat in 2014. And I believe she said, I actually tried to find the origin of this particular version. I believe she said that she couldn't remember where it came from. Some people think it came from the Plum Village tradition, but I can't find any record of it. So, but it is it's a contemporary, it's pretty close to the Visuddhimagga, the path of purification phrases, but, you know, English and Pali, they don't quite match up exactly. So I would say, you know, it's not cleaving very far from the original, not at all.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to check out the chat.
Yeah. So we're right almost at the top of the hour. Any last shout outs before we close?
I'll just say this was lovely.
Oh, thank you, Neil.
Always happy when you're visiting.
Always happy to visit. So it's really lovely to be with all of you. And I'll just dedicate the merit and then we will call it a night. So may the benefits of this practice that we have done here together ripple through our hearts and minds and lives, and all of the hearts and minds and lives we touch, and that they touch, and that they touch, so that the goodness ripples out further and further and further. May all beings be happy, safe, peaceful, easeful. May all beings be free. Thank you so much for your practice, everyone. Have a wonderful evening and be well.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome, Jennifer.